Shoftim Perek Dalet Pasuk Chaf Beis. Check it out, guys. It says, "V'nei Barak Rodef at Sisera. Barak chased after Sisera. Sisera ran away to Tizi al Lekrasim. Yael, who had already killed him, came out to go greet him. V'tomelo Leich Bar Echoes a Isha Sharetam Vakish. Come and I will show you the man that you're looking for." V'yavo Elai came to her. V'nei Sisera Nopal Mace. Sisera was dead. V'yosib Rakaso, the peg was in the midst of his forehead. Okay, clearly dead.
His
head was there. Could be temple. I don't know. What's the difference? Temple is this?
Side,
yeah, okay. V'yachna is Yavin Melekanam was named. So on that day, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they not won the war. No, they only beat Sisera. Yavin Melech Kanan was still alive and things were still going on. They had not won the war, but they won a battle against Sisera, and in that day forward, they were subdued. They were taken down a little bit. They got harder and harder, harsher and harsher upon Yavin Melech Kanan, until they had cut him off completely. Ya'el went searching after Barak so he wouldn't waste his time looking for Sisera. She knew what he was looking for, so she went out on her donkey to go find him and knew that Baruch was going to be looking for him. So she found him eventually and said, "You should come to me." So he ended up coming, realizing what had happened over there, and it was perfectly fine. Obviously, they knew what had ended up happening. Now we have one of the strangest ma'asim in all of Tanakh. But Tashar Devoro Baruch Ben Avinu Ba'Yom HaLeimor. They sang on that day. What happened to Kolisha?
So together with Mara.
The best answer by far is the fact that, well, yeah, there is an answer that goes by that, by the way, that she had to sleep with a man for that reason. But the best answer by far is that when a woman, even if it's a woman, if the woman is speaking words of Nevuah, there's no Yitzhahara involved. It's based on the Gemara that in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, when the Beis HaMikdash was there, even if a woman had to bring a korban, the woman had to wave her korban with the kohen. And the way it was is the kohen held the korban, the woman held the hand of the kohen, and they waved it up and down. So the Gemara asks, how could you have that? Is that two answers? Number one, there was a big thick cloth in between, and number two, it was a very old kohen. So the Gemara says, a very old kohen, what, he doesn't have any hair woman? So the Gemara says, yeah, it could be. There's another answer. And the other answer is, then the time is the Beis HaMikdash. It's the Beis HaMikdash. You don't have those thoughts when you're in the Beis HaMikdash. And that's possibly the same type of answer you could give over here. Devorah is going up and she's singing the Nevuah. Nobody's sitting like, oh man, she is good looking. Nobody's thinking that way. They're thinking, this is unbelievable. It's like Ruach HaKodesh coming through her mouth. We have no idea. She could have been 108 also. That could possibly be. We have absolutely no idea. But that's that. The shot behind the song is that the war against the Canaanite was not just physical, it was spiritual as well. Yavin had blasphemed HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And unlike Eglon, remember, Eglon Melech Moab was a king who still believed in God. When Ehud ben Gera came in and said, the word of God is upon you, he stood up for Ehud ben Gera. He understood that. Yavin didn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And for that, we're singing songs. He thought he was stronger than God. We're showing you that he wasn't whatsoever. That's the idea behind it. This is the reason why it's such an important song, that we read Shiras Devorah every year by Parshas Beshalach. When we read Az Yashir, we read Devorah by the Haftorah. That's what it ends up being over here. It's written on brick on brick and stuff like that. By the way, all these words are purely from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which means there's a lot to learn behind it. There's deep and holy thoughts here. We're not going to do everything, but here we go. Bifroa praos b'Yisrael. When there were outbreaks in B'nai Israel, people were doing bad things. B'iznadiv am Baruch Hu Hashem. The people volunteered themselves to come back and bless HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They wanted to come back and they wanted to. When they were wild and lawless, that's the idea. So this is the idea behind it. Okay. Here we go. Shimu melacha mazinu rosnim. Listen, O kings. Hear me, O leaders. Anochi Hashem, Anochi Hashir la'zamer la'Hashem elokei Yisrael. I am singing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I am singing to Hashem, the God of Israel. You should know that it wasn't us. Barak did not win this war. It was HaKadosh Baruch Hu that won this war. That's what she's starting off with. Number one, it's sort of like a b'tiyata d'shmaya. This is the beginning. This is how it starts off. This is how it goes. Hashem b'tzidka miseir, b'tzadka miseir Edom. When you went out from Seir, when you stepped out of Edom, Eretz ro'asha gam shmayim natafu gam oven natafu mayim. The land quaked. The heavens dripped with water. Even the clouds, they drip down water when you come forth. Harim nazlu bnei Hashem. The mountains dripped with sweat in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's Sinai bnei Hashem elokei Yisrael. Even Sinai from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Meaning, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu went, every single place in the world was scared out of their mind. Every person. Whether they knew what the fear was for or not. Whether it was an animate or inanimate object. They were all scared out of their mind at that moment, sweating profusely. They just had no idea what to do. That's the idea behind it. And then each person was sitting around there. There's a lot of stuff like the woman had to be involved over here. He goes into the whole thing about why it's allowed. It's very quickly as a side note. Devorah was able to jump judge Bnei Yisrael at that time. It says over here, only at that time was she allowed to be a judge. It was a special dispensation, possibly because what you're saying about Bris Mila, special dispensation that Devorah was allowed to make judgments, unlike any other time. Reb Moshe has a huge tshuva on whether or not women are allowed to be regular judges on a Beis Din. We know the Beis Din in Chicago comprised of Rabbi Schwartz, Rabbi Raka, and Rabbi Chaim Friedman. Because of what?
A menstrual cycle.
Because of the emotions, you mean?
Yeah.
Because of the emotional involvement, you could say. So let's say there's a woman who doesn't have a menstrual cycle. She's 60 years old. She went through menopause. She doesn't have it. Nonetheless, she can't. And it's not only because of the need or the emotions or anything like that. There's more to it than just that. A woman doesn't have... you don't want to say it in this way because we don't...
Some that she wouldn't be able to get approval when she was a nida.
Authority.
That's a good call. I don't know about that. It's a good call. I don't know if you can.
So what?
Miriam immediately asked for water, remember, to make herself taller when Akash Baruch Hu suddenly appeared to her.
Oh, that's
you might be right about her.
Dip into?
Yeah. She wanted to make that, not because of Nida. She asked because she had slept together with her husband. So she might be right about that. I don't know. Too much Nida probably takes it away. Too much Keri would also take it away. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu has to separate from his wife, unlike any other Navi. Every other Navi. So it's possibly true. That's a very, very good call. I don't know. But
too much Keri might be different than Nida.
But there's a difference when it comes. There's a difference when it comes to Nevios. When it comes to women, they have a different task in life. Whether or not they're more important or we're more important than them is immaterial. There are certain instances where women are more important than men, but we have the I guess you could say the laws in order to judge and to get involved with, and they don't. So even if there is one woman who happens to be perfect for the job, we don't pick her. It could be that it's embarrassing for guys, it could be that it makes the guys feel bad, but it's more so that they're not made for this purpose, and you have to accept what you've been made for. That's the idea of
Sanhedrin. Do you think that I always wondered this, and I think that if the Sanhedrin had continued and had not stopped at the destruction of the second base of Midrash, and there's always been a continuous Sanhedrin since then until today, and a Sanhedrin that can make new laws of Mizrabah, do you think that they would reinterpret the meaning the thing that doesn't allow women to testify? And I think that to me it seems that women would be allowed to be tested.
It's only been 80 years.
What?
It's only been 80 years since this movement has been around. It's possible.
But look around today. They are 100% equal. And
why don't we just translate it as a pasuk in Yeshaya that Nashim will chase after men at the end of days. And that really is, at the end of days, by the times of Mashiach, then women will chase after men. It doesn't just mean that women are going to say whatever. It means that the women are going
to,
but not even that. It's more that the women are going to be chushev like men. And it's a different world. I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Whoa. The Shonish is ending.
Yeah. And then of course Abba comes back.
Wait, how is me chasing after someone?
No. It's not. The wording is not rudaf. The wording is the women are going after men, meaning that the women become as cautious as the men are. Yeah, that's what it is. Okay, let's go on. Bimei Shamgar ben Anos, bimei Yoel. In the days of Shamgar, in the days of Yoel, that was in between Ehud ben Gera and Devorah, Chadu Orachos. The people stopped walking around. People who needed to go on paths, they went in roundabout directions because they were afraid. There were so many robbers around. There were so many bad people. There were so many issues that they had to go around roundabout paths. Chadu Brazon B'Yisrael. No one lived in open villages anymore in Bnei Yisrael. Chadelu, they stopped at Shekamti Devorah until I got up Devorah. Shekamti in B'Yisrael, the mother of Bnei Yisrael came up. She might have been saying what was true, but she was 1,000% punished for what she had said because she had gaiva. And this gaiva allows her to lose her nevuah for a second, as we'll see in a second.
Rashi says in Pasuk Vav, when it says Bimei Shamgar ben Anos Bimei Yael, it says that she Yael was a shofet.
Yeah, that's the shofetess. That's what I meant to say that, but yeah. Clearly she was a shofetess. I don't know. They chose Elohim Kadoshim.
Why is that gaiva?
Why is that gaiva?
She was saying the reality.
Give me 2 minutes. Let's get to where she's punished, because that's where it talks about over here. Yivka Elohim Chadoshim. They chose new gods. Oz, Lochem, Sha'arim. Then there was war at the gates. Mugging in Yera'ed. The shield was seen. Baroma Barbaim Elav Yisrael. There were spears. Right? Oh, I'm sorry. It says Mugging in Yera'ed. Baroma Barbaim Elav Yisrael. They did not see spears or shields among the 40,000 people of Bnei Yisrael. In other words, they were not tremendous people. They did not use their Torah properly in their davening. Libi lechoshi v'Yisrael, my heart is with the Dayanim of Bnei Yisrael, Miznadim ba'om Baruch Hashem, who voluntarily go around by the people, may they be blessed by God. Roch v'Astonos, the Tzachoros, they ride on white donkeys, Yoshvei Almi Din, they sit on the Din, Beholchei Al-Derech Sichu, and they go and they tell over what HaKadosh Baruch wanted. That's the idea behind it. That, thank God there were still people who were willing to travel, but the only people who were willing to travel were Talmidei Chachamim who wanted to teach the law to the different people. Mikol Mechatatin, Bein Mashabim, Shami Sanu Tzidkos Hashem. Right? From the voice of the what do you want to call them? The Mechatatin, the people that were trying to rob them. Bein Mashabim, between the watering places, Shami Sanu Tzidkos Hashem, now they tell over the righteousness of God. Tzidkos Pirzrono Bi Yisrael Yodul L'Sha'arim Mamash. Then they went out against everything. What's up?
You have the English.
Oh, I do. No, that's right. No, I'm not going to use English. Anyway, then all the people of Hashem will go down to the gates. So that's that. People didn't even draw water during the times of danger. They were so scared of everything that was because all the people that were around, now they were spread out. Now they were back into the right places. Here is where she had Gaiva. Uri, Uri, Devorah. Wake up, Devorah. Uri, Uri, Davrishir. Wake up and wake up. Sing your song. Kumbara, get up, Barak. Ushvei Shev Yaakov ben Noam. Take your captives, son of Abi Noam. Kaddish Baruch Hu. Now what's the pshat? It was disrespectful to the judges who were before her, to Yael and Shamgar. It may have been correct that at the time when she got up, all of a sudden the people were able to go again and the war was won and everything was all good. But she was disrespecting. Shamgar might have been dead, but Yael was definitely still alive. She was disrespecting Yael by saying such a thing, that I had to get up, and by my time, when I was in charge, that's when everything happened. She may have been telling the truth, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, saying that out loud when Yael is listening is not the right thing to do.
It's not an issue of gaiva, it's an issue of being insensitive.
Correct.
Okay.
That's really what it is.
In a haughty way.
Yeah, in a haughty way. That's, I think, what it is.
Yael probably wasn't like a top-tier shofet that, because... It had she been, Deborah wouldn't have said that.
Deborah shouldn't have said that. That's fine. You're right. And we know that because we're looking back and we see, obviously, Devorah was greater.
And she was
right?
On.
But she shouldn't have done it. Anyway, in Yud Gimel, it says over here, Oz Yerad Sarid Ladirim, then the remainder of the people ruled over everyone else. Am Hashem, the people of Hashem, Yerad Li Ba Giborim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to rule over the Giborim. That sounds much better. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed me to rule over them. Mini Ephraim Shorsham Ba Amalek. Ephraim, their root is in Amalek. Pretty good, right? Ephraim did not come out to war with Barak in order to fight. And she called out and said, your shoresh is in Amalek. You are cruel and you are not doing the right thing. Acharecha Binyamin ba'amamecha. After you came Binyamin, right, with all of your people. They also didn't come out. Mini machir yordi machokikim. There may be lawgivers who came from Menashe, and that's the mini machir. Menachir is from Menashe, so maybe that's the reason why they didn't fight. Zvulin, Moshkam b'shevet Sofer. Zvulin had people who were writing with their pens of the scribe. Now we all know that Zvulun did not have Talmidei Chacham necessarily, but they paid for Yisachar to learn, and therefore it was as if they were doing everything. Sarai be Yisachar in Devorah. My officers of Yisachar would with Devorah. Yisachar came Barak, that was Barak as well. But Emak Shulach Baraglav Biflagos Ruvain Gedolim Chikiyei Lev. They went all the way down, right? But Ruvain, they refused to go anywhere. Lama Yoshav to Vanamish Basayim. What were you doing? Why in the world? What was so deep inside you? Lishma Shrikos Adarim. You hear all the bleedings of the flocks. Biflagos Ruvain Gedolim. Right, that all the people of Reuven, they are great, and they investigated their hearts, but they didn't come out. Gilad the Eber Yarden Shachem, Gilad stayed on the other side of the Jordan River. They did not fight. The Dun, Lamia Goranios, Dun, why did you go out to the ships? Asher Yashal Lachov Yamin, sitting by the banks of the sea. Because there were two parts of Menashe. One lived in Eretz Yisrael, one lived outside. Oh, you thought that you could live by other places. Zvulun, Am Cheret Nashalomo. Zvulun was willing to kill himself, and Naphtali al Merom Esodah. Naphtali went out to the fields of war, going through all the different people. Now notice, by the way, she did not mention a bunch of Shvatim.
Right.
Not mention a bunch of Shvatim. For example, Gad was not mentioned over here. It could be because Gad was way down south. Yehuda, is down south. Shimon is way down south. So that could be why she didn't mention those three
too?
Because they were down there. Binyamin is above Yehuda, though.
Okay.
So he might have been nearby. So she only mentioned the ones that were nearby that didn't fight. But the ones down south, they weren't there. Okay, we can understand why it would be there. Yisachar and Zvulun and what's his name came and Naphtali. Those are the only three that were willing to fight, and that was that. But that's the idea behind it. It could be there were other things going on at the exact same time. The kings came and they fought. Okay? The kings came and they fought. That's when the kings of Canaan, they fought at Tanakh by the waters of Megiddo. They would not take any bribes. Meaning those kings of Canaan were not taking any money to fight. They hated the Jews. The Jews took their land. They were willing to fight for nothing. So you realize that this is not just an ordinary war. This was a war against people that wanted to kill us and really wanted to annihilate us because they hate us for what we had done. You realize that, and yet you still didn't come to fight us.
Were the Shvatim in the south being subjugated? Was Yehuda and Dan?
They possibly were, but they might not have known that a war was happening in the north. Okay, that's a possibility.
How long
didn't
was
say that it was all the way up north. Only if the war was longer, but the battle is what she's referring to. The battle against Sisera. That was up north.
They discovered a pottery shard from the possibly from the ancient Yebusim in Jerusalem under the
did they really?
The Kodah excavation area over there. The oldest description ever found
really
in Jerusalem, and it's written in some Canadian language. They can make up the letters, but they have no idea what it means.
Unbelievable.
Was that on Yeshiva World News?
This is the greatest puzzle. In the heavens, at the same time that they were fighting down here, the stars were fighting in their paths above. Nochamu and Sisera, they waged war with Sisera. Now, there were Nisan happening. The stars sent their glowing rays down out of the sky at the army of the Canaanim. They must have done that thousands of years earlier because they were light years away. So they had to do that way before. They heated the armor and the weapons of the Canaanim until it became unbearable for them, and they had to put it down. Roasting in their armor and burning from its touch, they jumped into the stream to cool off. The mud of the stream became so hot that it softened the hooves of the horses. When they hit the ground, they broke off. In pain, the horses rushed madly on, trampling the soldiers. Then the river Kishon became a roaring river, conquered all of them, just like the Yamsuf to the Egyptians, grabbed the 900 chariots of the Canaanim, and threw them all into the Red Sea. Threw them all. Nachal Kishon brought them all to the Red Sea. That's what happened over here. Unbelievable miracles over here. That's what ended up happening. Remember, the Red Sea had to give up the 600 chariots of Paro to show the Jews that they had all died. The Red Sea said, hey, we want to keep these things, right? Because that's food for my fish. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, I'll pay you back 1.5 times. He said, when? He said, by Sisera. This is when a Kadosh Baruch Hu fulfilled his promise. Okay? And he said, the Red Sea said, how am I supposed to know? He said, Nachal Kishon will take care of it for you. Nachal Kishon did it. That's exactly what happened.
Not the Red Sea. The Red Sea didn't get his...
No, he got brought over. Nachal Kishon was giving it over to Red Sea. I have no idea.
Long tributaries.
I don't know what happened.
Starlight.
Yeah. If you can believe Starlight that the river Kishon came up, then definitely something happened that allowed it to go to the Red Sea.
Starlights came down.
And this is the best one, guys. And we haven't even started. The other shot behind this is that it was up in Shemayim that the stars were fighting. The stars fought against Sisera's stars. In other words, Sisera had angels in Shemayim, and the stars in Shemayim were fighting against Sisera's stars, destroying them up above, which allowed Sisera to be defeated down here. But it gets even better. Oru Meiros, Omer Malach Hashem. The Malach of Hashem says, "Cursed is Meiros. Oru Aruyo Shvah. Everybody who lives there should be cursed." Kilavol Laz Hashem Laz Hashem Begivorim. They didn't come to help out God. Now, who was Meiros? Some say it was the protecting star of Sisera. Some say it was a powerful man. Some say it was a city. Okay? All that, regardless, there is an unbelievable Gemara. It seems very clear that the stars were supposed to come and help fight against Sisera. And this star, Meiros, did not come. Seemingly, this is one of the only places that Rav Aryeh Kaplan mentions it in one of his books, of a raya that there's alien life forms out there.
What?
That these alien life forms are supposed to be coming in order to help out. I'm dead serious. It's based on a Rashi and Sanhedrin and Sota, I believe it is.
So
and Rav Aryeh Kaplan brings it as a raya. They should have, and they didn't. They didn't come down to help.
Unbelievable, right?
There's never never speaks to the women. Talks about the creation of the world.
Are you Catholic? Right? Catholic?
It's a midrash. Not everybody gets it right.
Yeah. When it talks about the creation of the world, doesn't it?
It's a midrash.
The creation of aliens.
Midrash is like
there is something in the Zohar. No, there's something in the Zohar.
It's not Torah.
No,
I mean Zohar is like
esoteric. Tevorach minashim yol eshet chavrakeni minashim ba'ol tevorach. She should be blessed, Yael, the wife of chavrakeni. From all the women in the tents, she should be blessed. Mayim sha'al chol of masana. He asked for water, she gave him milk. But seifel adir mikriva chamal. She brought a huge bucket full of butter. Yadol yotze tishlachna. She put her hand onto the peg. Yemina lahomos amelim. She put her right hand on top of a hammer. V'homa sisra machaka rosho. She nailed it onto sisra. She pierced his head. Machatav achofa rakaso. And his brain fell out. He fell between her legs. He fell between her legs. Kasher Karasham Nafal Shadud. When he fell there, that's when his army fell. Chazal tell us that from this pasuk, we learn from the word Nafal and Kara. It says seven times, or Ragla, whatever it is. You learn up from here that Yael slept with Sisra seven times. Seven times in order to wipe him out so that she would be able to kill him.
And the first six times didn't wipe him out?
I don't know how in the world it happened, but it's an unbelievable little line over here.
Well, she was trying to get him to fall asleep so she could do...
My possibility, I would assume that what the pshat is that he seduced her and that she kept be willing, but she kept feeding him and drinking, giving him the drink, etc. until he fell asleep. It's very hard to understand what Chazal mean that she slept with him seven times. As you said, one time should have been enough. And why would she do that in the first place? Chazal talk about whether or not she was ever mutter to her husband ever again. Was she mutter to her husband? Tosfos holds, according to one shita, she was not mutter to her husband. It doesn't know she knew what she did, so she would admit it to her husband. You are right, though, in theory.
Oh, I mean, I guess if she admitted that she slept with him, then she would for sure be.
Yeah, struck. And I don't know what I think if you did. I think you have to say something. You don't. Meaning, we can't force a woman to say something, and even then, you don't have to be mom, and then you don't have to believe them. But she should, if she knows that she slept with somebody, she should be saying something. So there's a kasha. Is she allowed? Was she allowed to be together with her husband ever again? Yeah, that's the whole kasha of karka olam, whatever it is. Yeah, that's they say karka olam. Whether she moved, she allowed him. Mm-hmm. She allowed him to take her, that's but she allowed herself to be there. Shalos.
Is that why someone's allowed to their husband after she was raped?
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why that's brought down. The adach alone nishkafa. By the window, she looked. This is the mother of Sisra. Tiabed aim Sisra. She cried. The adach heshnav right by her. Crystal ball is an Eshnav. That's how the Malbim translates it. Madua Boshish Richbo Lavo. Why does his chariot delay in coming? Madua Echrupam and Markovosov. Why is his chariot delaying their steps? Chachmo Sarosat Hanenu. Her wise officers answer because they see in the crystal ball, according to the Malbim, they saw two women on top of Sisra. Right? That's what they saw. They translated and they said, "Afhi Toshiva Merala." She even said to herself, "Halim Zui Chalku Shalal." They're just dividing up the spoils. Racham Racham Asayim. He took two wombs, two women, as his spoils. Yael and Devorah. They didn't understand it the way it was. LaRosh Geber Shalal Tzvayim. They took colorful, you know, spoils. The Sisra Shalal Tzvayim. Rikma Tzaver Rikma Sayim Tzaver Shalal. You get a lot of stuff, you know. So don't worry. Obviously, it's not. By the way, we still are sad. We're still sad about the fact that his mother cried outside the area, and because of her cries, for 100 cries, we do 100 shofar blasts in Rosh Hashanah. That's where we get it from. We get it from right over here. I do have, by the way, the Miyamalese quote that it's a magic mirror. The Malbim says that it's a crystal ball, but he says it's a magic mirror. She called it a window because she could see faraway events as if through a window. Yeah, I don't know if she said mirror, mirror on the wall, but yeah, could be something like that. Cain, Yovdu, Koyevach, Hashem, all of your enemies should still be lost. Hashem, Oavav, Kitis, Hashem, Jigurasal, and his loved ones should be like when the sun goes out in its strength, like Hishkadar, Zarvon, Shana, the land was quiet for 40 years. So too, all your enemies should be destroyed. You know, was the descendant of Sisra?
She was a prophet during those 40 years?
During those 40 years. You know, this, no. Rabbi Akiva came from Sisra. Now, Rabbi Akiva came from Sisra, and it happens to be some say that remember Yael had seduced Sisra to be together with him? Yael's child was Rabbi Akiva. And that was Rabbi Akiva. No, I shouldn't say that. You're right. But Rabbi Akiva was a descendant from there. Pretty crazy, isn't it?
What I was saying was, okay, so people think like Galileo or whatever invented a telescope, but we know in the Gemara that
Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Gamliel had one.
So it could be that. And it seemed in the Gemara that it was like he had something special.
It's a Mishnah in Rosh Hashanah. He could define it. I don't know. But Yasmin Bnei Yisrael Rab, we're starting Perek Vav, guys. Yasmin Bnei Yisrael Rab and Hashem. Hey, guess what? Did it evil in the eyes of God again. So you see that one coming? See all one coming. But you know, Hashem had Midian, Shavashanim, they were in the hands of Midian for 7 years. Okay, it was unbelievable. At least all their sins had been wiped away from the song. This was a brand new part. It's not Vayosifu, they continued to do evil. No, they started to do evil in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why Midian? Midian was malicious and cruel. They were upset because we all know what happened a couple parshios ago. Bnei Yisrael fought, last week, Bnei Yisrael fought against Midian and destroyed them. So they were angry again, another nation that was ready to kill Bnei Yisrael because of what they had done. But because they had Midian and Yisrael, they became very strong. Midian also went Bnei Yisrael's Minharos. They made caves. Asher Baharim in mountains, that's the Maharos, and in other caves, that's Mitzados, and sea forged cities. When Bnei Yisrael would seed the ground, Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east. People of the east were the sons of Yishmael, sons of Keturah. They would come up, they would come to the land, they would camp there. They would wouldn't even take the land. They would just destroy the grain. That's all they would do. I'd walk Gaza all the way to Gaza. For the Yeshua Michya of Yisrael, there was not one bit of food left in Bnei Yisrael, but Seba Shor Bachamor. They didn't have any sheep or donkeys or camels or anything, or cows. They didn't have anything left. They stole and destroyed everything. The only thing Bnei Yisrael had was what they were able to hide. Kihemu Mikdam Yalu V'Aleim Yavo Kidei Arba. They came like locusts, Lurov. That's how many there were. V'Lahem Lugam Aleim Emis For. There was no number to them and their camels. Yavo Ba'eretz HaShachas. They came to the land. They totally destroyed it. They were literally willing to destroy everything in order to make sure. The caves, by the way, were made small on top, big on the bottom. They were like storage houses all the way inside the ground, almost like refrigerations. Yeah, not the Ishmaelim, but the Bnei Keturah and also the other people. Yeah, we're going to go all the way until there. And Keturah is the third wife of Avraham, possibly Hagar. They became very, very poor. I mean, they had no money, absolutely no money. It could be they actually had money, but they didn't have any food, so the money didn't mean anything. There was absolutely no deal for them. When Bnei Yisrael cried out to Hashem because of what Midian did, they sent a Navi to Bnei Yisrael. I took you out of Mitzrayim. I brought you up in the house of slaves. This Navi was, of course, Pinchas. So it says, I saved you from the hands of Mitzrayim, from all of your oppressors. And I got rid of them at Nelacham Mitzarsam, and I gave you their land. But Omer Lachem Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I told you, or I will say to you that I am HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Right? Lo Tiru Elokeichem Ori. Do not be afraid of the gods of the Amorim. Shartem Yoshem Arsam Lo Shematem Bekolam. Do not Bekoli. Right? And you do not. But you did not listen to my voice. That's the idea behind it, and that's the idea behind it. Why don't we mention Pinchas' name? Why not say there was Pinchas? Why mention there was a Navi Hashem? We don't want people to say. So where was Pinchas the whole time up until now? Why wasn't he helping out Klal Yisrael? Why wasn't he? So we don't mention his name, so nobody asks, well, why didn't Pinchas help them out?
Well, this is
truth is, why not? Why didn't Pinchas help them out?
What was he going to do? Supposed to do?
That's the real answer. The real answer is that certain people did listen to
Pinchas. Yirmiyahu tried so hard. And Isaiah.
100%. You're right. Kadosh Baruch Hu knew that they weren't going to listen to Pinchas didn't have the choice to do it. Yeah.
You should not fear the gods of the Amori, right?
Yeah.
But since you sinned, then you should.
But what? No. But, however, there were people that obviously did not. They were in the mouth. They didn't do that. Either way, let's go. Exactly. Okay. So Malach Hashem came and sat under the tree, under the oak tree. Asher Bapra, that was by Ofra, thank you. Asher Yoash Avi Ezri, that belonged to Yoash Avi Ezri. The Gidon Beno Chobet Chitim. Now, Gidon, his son, was threshing wheat by Gaslo Anis, because they were hiding from Midian. Now, it didn't make any sense. He was threshing the wheat in a weird place in the middle of an oak tree in the middle of nowhere, but because they were hiding from the Midianites, they couldn't do anything. Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to him, Malach of Hashem appeared to him, said, Hashem is with you, O strong soldier. Number one, we learn from here that you are allowed to start off speaking to somebody, you can say Shalom Aleichem. Even though Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you can start off with God's name. We learn from right here, Hashem Imcha Yiborachayo. You can start off with HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, there's no problem with that whatsoever. You're allowed to say that to a person. That's number one. Number two, the question was, is Gideon really worthy of being a leader? He definitely was the most worthy at the time, but was he a great person or not? You know, this is Mida Keneged Mida. Gideon did Kibud of the Ein. He honored his father over here by doing what his father wanted. Because he was willing to do what his father wanted, therefore he was allowed to correct the sin of the Jewish people who didn't honor their father, who was a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That's what he was allowed to do. But my love, Gideon, be out of me, listen, my master, even if God is with us, why did this happen to us? Where are all of his wonders, God's wonders, that our fathers have told us about, saying, God took us out of Mitzrayim, and now Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't care about us. He put us in the hands of Midian. Strong Lashon. Gideon looks back and says, where has he been up until now? What's going on here? All of a sudden, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gets up. What's going on? Gideon is a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Gideon is a Gilgal of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, Moshe Rabbeinu had one major problem. They did not fight against two nations, Midian and Amalek.
Well, Midian was his people.
And that's why he couldn't, right?
He threw the Midianim.
He had,
you're correct, but he sent Pinchas instead.
He ran away to Midian, so he had that cross the toast. So
let's back up.
That is correct. Be ready to shut his name out. Right, right.
Where did I get that he's a Gilgal?
So it's written by the Netuteh Mishum Astropolia, who writes it based on the Gemara in Roshana Daf Chafei, I believe it's Chafei, where it says that Moshe, Aaron, and Shmuel are equal to Gideon, Yiftach, and Shemshon. And it says each one of them was a Gilgal of the other. That Gideon was Moshe, Yiftach was Aaron, and that Shemshon is Shmuel, or became Shmuel, and I'll be later on.
Why is there a Gilgal? Because someone
There's
something that went wrong.
Yeah.
Okay, so it almost seems like it was meant to go wrong. He had to run away to Midian, because that can kill the Midian.
Correct.
They had to come with
Gideon. That is the reason why the Pasuk says, source of Midianim, and what's the wording in the last week's Parsha? In the last week's Parsha, in Parsha's Matos, it is
the wording is that a militia. There we go.
The wording is exactly the wording is amazing, because if you look at it, you're just like, what? Why would it say it that way? But then it makes a lot of sense. Here we go, right after it. Vayidaber Hashem el Moshe l'emor, nikom nikmas b'nei Yisrael me'etz Midianim, achar teseth l'nacha. Go take revenge. Afterward, you will die. You know, Vav is kind of commonplace throughout the entire Torah. It's the second most common letter after Yud. Why wouldn't it say Ve'achar, T'yaseh V'macha? And afterward, you will die. Because the pshat is, you're going to take revenge against the Midianim after you die. That's the pshat. Says that it's Shemshon based on that pasuk that he was a Gilgal and he took care of it for it. And by the way, there are 12 similarities between Gideon and Moshe. Number one, the first time that a Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared to Moshe Rabbeinu was when Moshe Rabbeinu was working for his father-in-law. Remember? In the Sneh. And it was through a Malach, not Hashem himself. The second time Hashem appeared, the first time was through a Malach. Gideon was working for his father, and a Kadosh Baruch Hu appeared through a Malach. That's two. Number three, Moshe Rabbeinu argued with a Kadosh Baruch Hu when he first said, he said, I don't want to be it. What are the Jews? They're not going to listen to me, etc. Gideon said, where have you been? He went straight up against a Kadosh Baruch Hu the same way Moshe Rabbeinu did the entire time. We're going to have a lot more. Hold on. Number four, by the way, this was on Pesach. This happened on Pesach. This whole mice that happened on Pesach, which was the same time.
That's why it came out. Perfect. He was like the whole
thing.
What our fathers told us.
It was the second day of practice. There we go. Second day of Pesach. That's what it says over here.
That's really cool.
I'm sorry?
Moses told us.
It was. The first time that Kadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him.
It didn't even happen yet.
No, but it was the day of Pesach. I mean, it was Nisan. It was the middle of Nisan.
Oh,
that's when it happened. Meaning it was the day of.
Like,
that's the idea behind it.
You see what you were saying. Like, right when you start reading, I'm like, huh, that's interesting.
The question is, can you work on Chol HaMoed?
Yeah.
You can work on Chol HaMoed if you need to.
Of course.
And that's the Korban Omer. That's exactly what he was doing. He was getting involved with the Korban Omer. Next. Vayithen Elav Hashem. Hashem turned to him. This is the second time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned to him. Vayithen Hashem, Panim El Panim, is said by Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's the same thing. No, not yet. But Yomer Leich Bechokach Hazeh, Tzedek HaShvach will go with that koach. That koach that you have, that you're willing to argue, is exactly why you're chosen. Voshat Yisrael saved Bnei Yisrael Mikaf Minin Elosh Latichah, and I have saved you. Remember, we said before, Shoftim were not only judges, they were able to judge Bnei Yisrael good, they were able to judge Bnei Yisrael well, in a good way, Tzedek HaShvach will then allow them, right, to be saved. That's exactly what he did.
You only listed five similarities.
Oh, no, we're not done yet. Hold on, we got a lot more coming. How am I going to save Bnei Yisrael? I am the youngest of my father's house. What was Moshe Rabbeinu? The oldest or youngest of his father's house?
Yes, also fighting against him being chosen.
100%. And he's going up against the Kadosh Baruch Hu. You could even say that at 7. And Hashem said to him, Ki Eheye Imach. One of the last time we used Ehayah Asher Ehayah, the exact same shame of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He says, Midyam Ki Yishakot, you will defeat them as if you are one man. That's what's going to happen. Yom HaLavim, Nama Tzosachem Be'Nachabas. He's asking for an oath from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Sha'atim Adavar, and you give me an oath that you're speaking with me. You're right. An oath was given to Moshe. Not only that, three osios. There are going to be three osios by Gidon as well. We're going to see it as well. Al Nasamush Mizad, Boye Lecha, Votesius, Mechazi, Nachli, Lepenachon. Now, this is a little bit different. Do not move from here. I am going to bring you my present, and I'm going to put it down in front of you. Okay, so here it is. Say, Bayomar, Anoche, Yeshiva, Shuvach, I will sit here until you return. Gidon Bava Yaskidi, Yizim, Eifas, Kemach, Matzos. He took a goat and a thing of matzos. Again, matzos, because it's based on Bavasar, Sambasal. He put the meat in a pan or a basket. Vamarat Samba Parur, you put that inside something, I don't know, the soup in a pot. He brought it over. Take the basar and the matzos, put it on the rock. There's a mark, shvoch. Pour out the soup. I'll explain in a second. Vayask Kennedy did so. He took out the staff that was in his hand, the malach. Vayigal the basar and matzos, he touched it. But how Ishma the Torah, fire came up from the rock.
From the rock.
Sur is also a word that is used by Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshas Kisisa. But Tolkos and Basar et Amatos and Malach Hashem Alach Me'enav. Yes, this was not supposed to be a korban.
Okay.
But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it into a korban. It consumed the Basar and the Matos and the Malach Hashem.
So why did
it disappear from the front of his eyes? Let's talk about it a little bit. It's a little bit, we have to understand a little bit over here. It's a little bit strange. Before the meat, it was in preparation for the miracle that he was about to perform. That's why the thing was poured out. The bread and the meat would burst into flames if they were wet. That would be a huge miracle. As opposed to if they were dry. If they were dry, okay, they burst into flames. Not that big a deal. Spontaneous combustion can happen. But if it was wet, right, that's, how in the world could that have happened? It's the same thing that Eliyahu Navi did on Har HaKarmel. He poured water all over his korban, and yet still the fire came down. That's the idea behind it. A little bit more. Vayar Gidon Kimalach Hashem Hu. Gidon realized it was a Malach of Hashem. Vayar Gidon Aha Adonoi. Oh, woe to me. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem. Ki Al Kain Reis Malach Hashem Panim El Panim. I've seen a Malach of Hashem face to face. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu was the only person to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Panim El Panim. Yom Elo. Hashem said
to him. Manoach and his wife saw the Malach face to face.
Did it say Panim El Panim?
Doesn't say Panim El Panim, but it says they
fine. No, but I mean the wording of Panim El Panim.
It fell on their face.
I agree with that. I totally agree, but it doesn't say the word Panim El Panim. Panim El Panim is only used by Moshe Rabbeinu. Yeah.
What? I don't
know. Again, I'm just telling you all because
it's possible already that she saw him in a dream, or did she actually see him in the Tzada? Did she have a dream that she saw
that
him in the Tzada?
That already is a solid question.
So therefore, it could be that she didn't even
see him. Machlok is Mori Nebuchim and Ramah. Mori Nebuchim says that even Gidon right now is asleep. Gidon was not awake. So according to Rambam, the Rambam says you cannot see a Malach, or this was not a Malach. This
so what about Avram?
Can it happen? It was all a dream.
A dream.
According to Mori Nebuchim. What? Even Yaakov, it was all a dream according to Mori Nebuchim.
No, that can't be. Because then why would they... Oh, because she called.
Why not?
She knew that Sarah
lacked. But it's a famous Rambam. Do not be afraid, you're not going to die. This is in Puzzle Club Gimel, now Chav Dalit. But even Shem Gidon Mizbeach Hashem, Gidon built him Mizbeach to Hashem, Yikol Hashem Shalom Ali Yamazel, then about
Chav Dalit. So he woke up and now he built a Mizbeach.
Yeah, could be that he built it up.
Otherwise, why would he do that? He already did that.
I'm a Ramban Mek. But even Laila, who on that night, and Hashem said to him that night, okay, there's a bunch of things that go wrong over here. Take the older ox, axe. That's why it's called Par HaShor, a well-done axe.
People
that
at that
founder. This was not a Parasheni Shavashanim, and the seven-year-old second cow. V'ratez Mizbach Abal, you are going to destroy the Mizbach of the Baal, a Shavavich that your father owns. His father, Gidon's father, was a tremendous Ovid of Odezor de Baal. That's Asherah Asherah looked across, and the Asherah tree that's on it, you're going to cut that down as well. But he's Mizbach for some of you're going to build up the Mizbach to Hashem. Al Roshem Ozazet, on this rock, the Marocha, in that area, the Lakatz the Parasheni Valisa Olabat, the Asherah Asherah across. You're going to take the second cow and bring it up as an Ola with Asherah wood that you're going to cut down for yourself. Okay.
That's interesting because first of all, he just had a Pesach with his forefathers. They told him about that and then his father...
I know, it's amazing, right, that he was like that. They probably believed in both. They probably believed in a dual type of God. Either way, these things were set aside for idols 7 years earlier. Okay, 7 years earlier. All that time the people had cared for it and they fed it. It was probably like Kobe beef. You know what I'm saying? Like they probably stuffed fed it and whatever and they made it huge. Maybe it was going to be sacrificed. Maybe it was sacred. Maybe it was worshipped as part of the service of the Baal. We don't know. But the dedication of the bull was 7 years earlier. What happened 7 years earlier?
Devorah?
Midyan had started to take over.
Yeah.
It was not a coincidence. As soon as they had started, that's exactly when this whole thing happened. It was not a coincidence. It's exactly that. That's the idea behind it, and that's when it happened happening. No one has any idea what happened to the first bull. There were two bulls over here, right? What happened to the first bull? I mean, the second bull is supposed to be sacrificed. What about the first one? Right? We have no idea what was supposed to be done. Was it supposed to be killed? Was it just supposed to be taken? Was it supposed to be hidden? Was it supposed to be sacrificed to whatever it is? Maybe it was intended to divert their attention, to make them think that he didn't steal it from his father's bull or anything like that. Either way, it was an axe bull because it was extremely strong. That was going to be behind it. Now, but you got Gidon Asana. No, axe bull. Par, sure.
Hold on. Both. The only problem is, okay, both of them were?
It was called, it was the first one was Par HaShor.
Okay, hold on.
Par Sheni.
So, and which one did he bring
the second one, the Shor.
That makes sense, because what? The ox is castrated, and that's monk.
Good call. No, I hear you. No, don't translate Shor as a castrated ox. It isn't always. So Shor just means an older cow. Older male cow. Why it means short part? That's it. All right. But you got Gidon Asar and Hashem. Why he took 10 men from his servants, people that already believed in God, that already were on Gidon's side. By Kasher Gibel of Hashem, and he did what God told him to do. By Kasher Yoreh is based on because he was afraid of his father's house. Because Amshay Yir and the people of the city, Miasas Yomam, Miasas Laila. He didn't want to do it during the day. He did it at night. Now the question is, what are you afraid of? Good folks told you to do something. Go ahead and do it. Here's the pshat. Okay. He was not afraid they were going to kill him. He was afraid they were going to stop him. You have to be clever to fulfill God's word. You can't just say, like, well, God told me to do this, I'm just going to go ahead and do it. Use your intelligence. But Avram, even he came up with plans. Slowly but surely, he had ideas. And then before that, meaning even with the Avodah Zarah of his father's house, he had ideas of how to do it. He went slowly but surely working on the people. Saying, like, do you really think this guy? Do you really think this? And whatever it is. You shouldn't just go fearlessly without thinking rationally about it. Think about what you can do to know what you have to do. You have to be clever. Now, there are 8 sins that were wrong with what happened over here. 8 sins that he was allowed to do over here. Number 1, you cannot bring a korban outside of the Mishkan. Mishkan Shilo was around. You couldn't bring it outside of Mishkan Shilo. Number 2, Gidon was not a Kohen. Number 2. Number 3, it was not the proper time for sacrifices. You can't do it at night. This is at night.
Wait. Didn't they have bamas until the Beis Hamikdash was built?
No, not by the Mishkan. When Mishkan Shil was destroyed, yes.
Okay.
Mishkan Shil was not yet destroyed.
Okay. And between, okay.
Yeah, number 4, there were no sanctified utensils, meaning all the kalim that were used were not Kodesh. They were not Kodesh at all. Number 5, this animal was idolatry. It had been sanctified and possibly even worshipped for idolatry.
No, it doesn't matter. It's not.
What?
Matter.
No. But even all these things are sins. Number 6, he burnt it with the wood of the Asherah tree, and the kalim were used. The kalim of the Asherah were used over here. That's number 7. And number 8, I forgot what it was. Oh, that it was worshipped. That was worshipped as well. Anyway, those are 8 things that would have been unaccepted. But Abba Zachar Farb said yes.
Use a reserve
to serve
Hashem.
What?
Use a Vodazara to serve Hashem.
Can you? Mm-hmm. I don't think you can. You can't use a Vodazara to... you mean you can use a faith in order to serve Hashem. I don't know if you can use a Vodazara. I don't think that's possible. I don't think you're allowed to use it. You have to know the halacha. I don't know if they're allowed. Oh, he did it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him to do it. But normally, these would have been considered 8 sins.
I mean,
you can use it because the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah. Yeah.
Why not?
You can't do that.
Why not?
Now, what is it? You can't use an apple dessert tree for anything that's Kodesh. Can't use it.
You going to show us on the show?
I mean, it's just, I thought it was both of those to do it, yeah, but it has to be direct.
Why
didn't
we do it?
Because the guys were... No, it has to be a direct revelation. The Ashkim wants you to hear Baboka. The people got up early in the morning. They need new tats and Mizbech HaBal. They got up and they saw it. The Mizbech HaBal was destroyed. Vasher Asher Alav Karasa. The Asher was cut down. Mizaparashani Oala on Mizbech HaBanoi. The second cow was brought up on the Mizbech. Every man said to their friend, Miyasa Dabar, who did this? They searched around. They found out that Yomer Gito Ben Yoash Asher Dabar, it was Gito Ben Yoash. They said to him, Hotzi has been Chaviyamos, bring out your child, he will die. He cut down the Mizbeach of the Baal. He cut down the Asherah Love, and he cut down the Asherah tree that was on him. Yomer Yehoshua Horsher Amdu Olav.
His name was Avi Ezri.
I'm sorry?
Wasn't his name Avi Ezri?
Yehosh. Avi Ezri, the father of the people of Ezri. That's from Menasha. They were the people of Menasha. But Yomer Yehoshua Horsher Amdu Olav, Yehosh said to all the people around there, Hatem to read them about what you're going to fight for Baal? Imatem to Shirazo, are you going to save the Baal? She Yarivlo, Yumas. Adaboker, whoever fought Baal will die before the morning. You don't think Baal is going to take care of it himself? Imalohimu Yaravlo. If he is a god, he will fight for himself. He called his name Yerubal. Lemar Yarav Bohabal, he fought with Baal, Kinatas Mizbacho, because he knocked down the Mizbeach. That was an insult and a good thing at the same time. An insult because everybody called him like Yerubal, you think you can fight Baal? But it was a good thing at the same time because he fought against Baal and he won at the end of the day. There's a machlokas, whether the father of Gino, whether Yoash, believed in Baal or not. Was he a faker the whole time?
Oh, yeah.
And he was just saying? It sounds like he's a faker. No, but he might have really believed that Baal will fight for himself.
That's like being a real, like...
I totally agree with you. That's the opposite way. I'll see you soon.
So stark.
But yeah, that would be the opposite way. We only have 6-7 minutes until... Oh, 10 minutes until
yeah, no, I'm
going to
down tomorrow.
All good. Don't worry. So, all of Midian, Amalek, and the people of the east, they gather together. They camped in the valley of Israel. Now, the Spirit of God filled Gidon. And he blew on the shofar. All of Abiezer, all of Menasseh gathered after him. He sent out messengers to all Menasseh. Right? He gathered other people with him. He sent out other messengers to Asher, Zvulun, and Naphtali, and they all came up to meet him. Now they said, Gidon was not on the level to receive real Ruach HaKodesh. He was not on that level. He was suddenly filled with a burning desire to go and fight Midian. It's similar to inspiration, which is experienced by many great leaders, but it's not Nevuah. He didn't get a Nevuah to go fight. He just felt, today's got to be the idea. And he was filled with strength to be able to go fight, but he did not have regular things. That's what ended up happening. But Yomer Gidon Elokim. Gidon said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, "In the age of Moshiach Yadi of Yisrael, if you're really going to save Bnei Yisrael in my hands, I mean, I'm taking Bnei Yisrael, I'm about to kill them. They're about to die. Kasha Divarta, like you said, Anochi." And remember, he did not receive a Nevuah. So he wasn't positive. That's what he's basically doing. I am going to place this thing of wool in the middle of the threshing floor. If the whole land is dry, but all the water is in the shearing, then now I know that you will save in my hands. The pshat is the shearing was him. The rest of the floor was all Bnei Yisrael. Is it his schus that's going to save Bnei Yisrael? In my schus. So is the water on the shearing? That's what he's asking. By Yichain, it was that. By asking the Machor, he got up the next morning. He asked the Giza, and he squeezed out the thing of wool. By Yimetz, telling the Giza, "Malo seif olmayim." He filled a bucket full of water with all the dew that was on top of the Giza. That's what he was able to do, and that was the sign that he saw. Okay. Now, notice something, by the way. It only says that the Giza was filled with water. The threshing floor was still wet. So it wasn't a full sign. So he wasn't able to tell if HaKadosh Baruch Hu was still going to do it or not. He wasn't sure. But Yomer Gidon Elohim, Al Yicha Abchavi, please don't be angry with me. Vadavar Achapam, let me ask once again. Anasen no Rakapam of the Giza, I'm going to test one more time with this shearing wool. Yina Chorev El Giza, let it be dry by the shearing wool of Ada. Valkolaret Yatol, and the rest of the land let it be tall. Meaning, is it not my schus? Is it just Bnei Yisrael? It's in their schus? That's Elohim came, Balai Lahu. On that night, he did it.
Shall I send the messengers? Can you send that again?
The opposite. Is it though? meaning I want the shearing to be dry and make all the land be wet, because I want to see a Bnei Yisrael, Yichor v'Lagiza. The Giza was dry, Levad v'Alkor Zayatal, and every other way it was something like that, and that's the idea behind it.
Wait, so now God's saying now you're supposed to at all only Bnei Yisrael.
It's not, yeah, he's saying that it's Bnei Yisrael. Although you are the most worthy of Bnei Yisrael, you are not the reason why Bnei Yisrael is being saved. You are the most worthy, and you were able to save them by giving them schus. Where are your miracles, O God? You did that, but you are not with tremendous tzaddik that everything is being saved because of you, and that's what he is being told over here. We're not going to be able to finish tonight, but let's at least start over here. Yashmi Yerubal Gidon. Yerubal, that is Gidon, got up in the morning. They were in the north, on Givat Amora in the valley. I'm going to show you guys a little map over here. Check out right over here. Hill of Moreh. Here we go. This is the Kinneret. The Jordan River is right over here. They were by Ein Harod, right by Mount Gilboa, right around there. The Hill of Moreh was right there, right by Mount Tabor. Okay, so that's where they were, right over there. We're gonna get to there. Also, it's Zvulun. I'll tell you that's where they were. Guess where they were over here, okay? So they camped right over there, right? They were opposite, right around there. Now, they were in the valley. He was on top of a mountain. That means that he had, right, the ability to go, and that would be the, you know, a good place to be able to fight. But Yomar Shem Gido, Rava Al Masheri Toch. There's too many people with you. You got way too many people. Mitzvah is Midian Be'adam. I'm not going to give Midian into their hands. Peni Spar Alai Yisrael Lemor Yada Yishieli. I don't want Bnei Yisrael saying that we saved ourselves. You have way too many men. We don't want that to happen. Now, Gideon wanted a big army because he didn't think Bnei Yisrael had this chutz to win with such a small army. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to encourage the generation. This generation needed to know that God was with them, period. There was no anything. God is 100% with them. They were never abandoned. They were never rejected. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was with them. So therefore, he wants them to know they need to recognize the miracles. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu needed to be awesome. That's a krona bosnei amlema. Call out in the ears of the people saying, Miyarei v'charei, whoever is afraid, Yashuv yitzpar mehar gilad, go away from har gilad. V'yashmi na'am esrim v'shayim elef aseres alachim nisharu. 22,000 people were afraid. 22,000 people left. 10,000 people remained. Some say that the reason why they went was because they were afraid. Some people say they were Obdei Avodah Zarah. They came because they felt like they had to, but they really did not have this close, and that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted them to turn away. Now, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, turn away, meaning don't go straight back, because then people will see them leave, and they'll be like, hey, why aren't you fighting the war? And they're going to come up, well, we were kind of afraid. Tell them to go in a roundabout way, so nobody would see that they were leaving the war. They were just, oh, we happen to be traveling. Oh, we had no idea there was a war. That's what they ended up saying. But Yom HaShem Ogidon, Oda Am, Rav, you're still too many people. 10,000 people? Way too many people. Horido Samalamayim, go down to the water, that's Rafenu L'chasham, and I'm going to refine them for you there. Whoever I tell you will go with you. Who Yelech Yitach, they will go with you. The people that I say should not go with you, they're not going to go. There was still Ovdei Avodah Zarah around there. And why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do that? HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted it to be that there were no hard feelings. If people would walk by Gideon while he's holding the Urim Bitumen, and he'd say, you go, you don't, you don't, you don't, you go. People are going to have hard feelings toward Gideon. You rejected me from the war. Now, it's not Gideon. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu saying, you are not going to go. And that's what they're saying. It's more than just the Urim Bitumen. There was a level, there was going to be a Ruach HaKodesh that was given over to all the people for them to leave, and they're going to end up leaving on their own. Here we go. Yorda, so I'll know a mind. He brought them down to the water. Hashem said to Gideon, Kol Asher Yalok Bilshonam Yirmayim. Anybody who laps up the water with their tongue. That means they go all the way down to the water and they drink it like a dog. Kasher Yalok HaKelev, like a dog drinks. Tatsiko Salavad, put him to the side. Kol Asher Yikral Bir Kavlishto. So too, anybody who bows down on their knees to drink, because anybody who bows down on their knees means they've done this before. And they didn't do it in the Beis HaMikdash, in the Mishkan, I mean. They've done it to Avodah Zarah. So you can't have those guys. The ones that took the water with their hands to their mouths while not kneeling on their knees was only 300 men. Everybody else either lapped it with their tongues and drank from the water itself, or kneeled in order to get it. 300 men, those are your saviors. Everybody else go home. your savior is going to be 300 men altogether. And Pasuk Chet, Vayichu et Seda Am B'Yadam, they took all the provisions of the people in their hands, that's Shofar Seyam, but they kept their shofros. It's Kol Yishisol Shalach Yishol Alav, they sent the rest of the Jews home. Shalosh Meleza Ish Hechzik, he stayed with 300 men, Machan and Midian, Hayol and Mitach Be'emek. Machan and Midian was all the way down in the valley itself.
It isn't that the 300 took the shofros of the other ones went home.
Yeah, the other ones went home. They had to leave their provisions and their horns. That's what they had to do. And the horns would be there. Normally, you don't have horns for every soldier. You have like one horn for every 100 people or something like that. Here, every soldier had a horn. There were 300 men with 300 horns. It's going to be one of the most awesome wars you'll ever see. This is one of the best wars in all of Tanakh. One of the best, if not the best, to stop right there.